ॐ नमो भगवते as it is, the translation and commentary by His Divine Grace Śrīla Bhaktivedanta Śrīla Prabhupāda. Śrī Bhagavān uvāca lokesmin dvividhā niṣṭhā purā prokṭā mayānaḥ jñāna yogena saṅkhyānām karma yogena yoginām. The Supreme Personality of Godhead said, O sinless Arjuna, I have already explained that there are two classes of men who try to realize the self. Some are inclined to understand it by empirical, philosophical speculation, and others by devotional service. Purport. In the second chapter, verse 39, the Lord explained two kinds of procedures, namely Sankhya Yoga and Karma Yoga or Buddhi Yoga. In this verse, the Lord explains the same more clearly. Sankhya Yoga, or the analytical study of the nature of spirit and matter, is the subject matter for persons who are inclined to speculate and understand things by experimental knowledge and philosophy. The other class of men work in Krishna consciousness, as it is explained in the 61st verse of the second chapter. The Lord has explained also in the 39th verse that by working by the principles of Buddhi Yoga or Krishna consciousness, one can be relieved from the bonds of action, and furthermore, there is no flaw in the process. The same principle is more clearly explained in the 61st verse, that this Buddhi Yoga is to depend entirely on the Supreme, or more specifically on Krishna, and in this way all the senses can be brought under control very easily. Therefore, both the yogas are interdependent as religion and philosophy. Religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. The ultimate goal is Krishna, because the philosophers who are also sincerely searching after the absolute truth come in the end to Krishna consciousness. It is also stated in the Bhagavad Gita, the whole process is to understand the real position of the self in relation to the super-self. The indirect process is philosophical speculation, by which gradually one may come to the point of Krishna consciousness, and the other process is directly connecting with everything in Krishna consciousness. Of these two, the path of Krishna consciousness is better, because it does not depend on purifying the senses by a philosophical process. Krishna consciousness is itself the purifying process, and by the direct method of devotional service, it is simultaneously easy and sublime. Within this purport comes Srila Prabhupada's famous statement that religion without philosophy is sentiment, or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So, is religion sentiment? No. Is religion philosophy? No. Well, we could say that these are components. True religion is a gestalt of feelings and understanding. Ultimately, in bhakti, in the highest stages, it's more than religion. Just like when we read about Well, there are so many great devotees. The Shravanam, Kirtanam, Vishnu, Smaranam. Shravanam, famous is Parikshit Maharaj. Kirtanam, Vyasaki. Namely, Shukadev Goswami. Vishnu Smaranam, Prahlad Maharaj. So, when Parikshit Maharaj was hearing from Shukadev Goswami, Parikshit Maharaj didn't think, well, I'm doing something religious. I'm following some religion. I'm doing a Hindu ritual. He didn't think like that. And Shukadev, he didn't think, I'm this is my religion. This is my... Or the gopis, or all gopis, gopas, Vrindavan, they didn't think that we're going to Krishna, this is our religion. But rather, it was their dharma. Now this word dharma is sometimes used for religion, but it's very inadequate. The word dharma is not properly translated as religion. It was certainly the dharma of the Vrajvasis to love Krishna. But it's not their religion, but it's their dharma, their inherent, intrinsic tendency to love Krishna. So in the topmost stages, one goes beyond religion. Religion may be considered a set of beliefs or practices that are meant to lead one to God. But then when one is fully in Krishna consciousness, when he's linked with God, bhakti yoga vidhana tam, when he's fully linked with Krishna by the process of bhakti yoga, linked means in service, he's fully absorbed in service to Krishna, then it's no longer rules, regulations, you have to follow this, then it becomes spontaneous, raga bhakti, feeling full bhakti. It's simply conducted out of pure love. So that pure love, that may be called sentiment. Sentiment, we generally think the term sentiment means just some feeling, as is here given here, without any real basis or philosophy. But sentiment, that in Sanskrit we could say that bhav. So that's not necessarily a bad thing, that's wanted. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, aham sarvasya prabhava matah sarvam pravartate iti madbhavajante mam buddha bhavasananita. That those who understand Krishna as the Supreme Personality of Godhead, they, with their intelligence, they apply themselves to Krishna consciousness and worship him with feelings. So the philosophy is there to understand Krishna is the Supreme, but then it's not just philosophy, because Krishna is, he's the Supreme, but he's not the Supreme machine or simply the Supreme dispenser of justice, but he is the Supreme loving person. So ultimately religion means to love Krishna. But to understand or come to that point, some philosophical basis is also required. Otherwise, if we emphasize only sentiment, then our bhakti doesn't become distinguished from material sentiment. Sometimes that accusation is given against Vaishnavism, especially Gaudiya Vaishnavism, because Gaudiya Vaishnavism appears to be very sentimental. It is. It's full of bhav. It's full of feeling. Hare Krishna Maha Mantra Eto Shabhav Jai Jape Tar Krishna Upajai Bhav. It is the natural, it is the nature of the Hare Krishna Mantra that anyone who chants it, then the feelings for Krishna awaken. And what to speak of us, even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was accused by the philosophers of Varanasi, very philosophical sannyasis, of being a bhavuk, simply a sentimentalist. Why are you going around singing and dancing? That's not the business of a sannyasi. A sannyasi should be very grave and philosophical. And why are you singing and dancing in the streets? That's not very high class. They accused him thus. And then Chaitanya Mahaprabhu met them and he spoke such philosophy that he defeated all their philosophy. They couldn't imagine that he understood philosophy. But he demonstrated that the ultimate expression of the ultimate understanding of Vedanta philosophy, the Vedanta philosophy that they were so much attached to, the ultimate understanding of Vedanta philosophy is to sing and dance in love of Krishna. We also get this indication at the very beginning of Srimad Bhagavatam. Nigama kalpataro galitam phalam shukamakadam ritadrava sangitam pivata bhagavatam rasamalayam mohoraho rasikam bhuvipavukaham. That the Srimad Bhagavatam is the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. Now, Vedic knowledge, that the ripened fruit, or the end, or the ultimate consideration of Ved is Vedanta. At the end, the Ved is there, and Ved is mostly Trigunya Vishayo Veda, mostly concerned with the Karmakandya activities. But then there's Vedanta. Then one comes, Vedanta means the Upanishads. Sometimes we think Vedanta means Vedanta Sutra, but Vedanta Sutra is an exposition of the knowledge in the Upanishads, and Vedanta actually means the Upanishads. And Vedanta Sutra is included in that. But it means that when one has come to the end of, when one is fed up with this karma mimamsa or karma kanda, then one enters into Vedanta, the end of the Vedas. And Vedanta Sutra begins with this proposition, Atato Brahma Jignasa. Now one should inquire into the absolute truth. So what does this now mean? Well, that could be said, now one has got the human form of life, but anyone in the human form of life should inquire, but specifically the Madhvacharya and other acharyas, they say that when one is fed up of this karma, trying to enjoy this material world, then he should inquire into the absolute truth. So one comes out of karma mimamsa and enters into uttar mimamsa. Vedanta is considered, Vedanta Sutra is considered Uttar Mimamsa. Mimamsa means deliberation upon. So when one is fed up of trying to enjoy this material world, even by the Vedic process, then one should enter into genuine spiritual life. Brahma Jivyasa, to try to understand what is the absolute truth. So this is Vedanta. That's generally considered followers of the Upanishads, they are considered to be on the Jnana Marga. But here we have in Srimad Bhagavatam, Nigama Kalpataro Galitam Phalam, the ripened fruit of the tree of Vedic knowledge. So we could say that those who are studying Vedanta, they're getting the fruit, but not the fully ripened fruit. Galitam. Galit means, just like when you see a mango, actually you don't because people buy it in the shop, but if you take from the tree, then if you just take it at the point where it's very ripe, it becomes even a little wrinkled on the outside. Just when it's becoming wrinkled, then it's perfect, before it becomes too ripe. So that's what galit means, just that you may have wrinkles on your face also. So galita, that is just perfectly right. So this is the perfectional stage of Vedic knowledge, galita phalam. Shukamakadam ritadrava samyuta. And it's becoming, this Srimad Bhagavatam is coming through Shukdev Goswami, which is also an analogy is there, is that ripened mango is very sweet, very nice. But there's some system, it becomes even nicer. That you cannot, it doesn't mean you chemically process it. But if by chance some parrot, shuka, comes and pecks a little of that very nice sweet fruit, that becomes even more sweet. So in the same way, that knowledge of Srimad Bhagavatam, which was compiled by Vyasadeva, was heard by Shukadeva Goswami. And he repeated that, and the same knowledge which Vyasadeva had given, this in the verse before that, it describes how Mahamuni Kriti, the Srimad Bhagavatam was compiled by Mahamuni Vyas. But even Vyas compiled it, after compiling all the other Vedas, this is the topmost, excellent, par excellence, exposition of Vedic knowledge. But it became even better when Shukdev Goswami spoke it, so much so that Shukdev, who is the disciple of Vyas, when he spoke Srimad Bhagavatam, then even Vyas listened. Oh, my disciple is speaking very nicely. I should also hear. This is even better than what I told him. It's the same thing. But he has added some, he's found more. What has he found? One cannot, not that he gave more knowledge than Vyas, but what did he give? He found in the Srimad Bhagavatam, he excavated more rasa. So ras, that exchange of, that which is produced in the exchange of loving feelings between Krishna and his devotees, that is rasa. So that is there, Vyasadeva has presented, but Shukadeva has brought out more and more sweetness. And there are many comments we'll find throughout the Bhagavatam, especially in the 10th canto, where Shukadeva Goswami is making comments. Nemang varincha nabhavo nashya rapyanga sangshaya ha prasadam lebhire gopir yattat prapya vimuktida. So this is the kind of comment that Shukdev Goswami gives, that when he's describing how Mother Yashoda is tying up Krishna, then Shukdev Goswami has given some commentary that what is the position of Yashoda Mai, that what she's doing, she's tying up Krishna, who the yogis cannot even catch him, and she is externally seems to be a simple village woman, but she's not, the yogis can't even reach to him, but she's caught him and tying him up. And what kind of mercy she is getting from Krishna, this kind of mercy that Brahma, Shiva, and even Lakshmi, who's constantly associated with Narayana, they could never get this kind of mercy. We cannot imagine Lord Shiva tying up Krishna, or Lord Brahma, or even Lakshmi. Yatta prapya vimuktidat. Krishna is the giver of liberation, but he is tied up by Mother Yashoda. So what is the position of Mother Yashoda? So this kind of comment Shukadeva Goswami is giving, and therefore it becomes sweeter, better, even though Srimad Bhagavatam given by Vyas is perfect, but becomes more perfect, which is in logic there's no such perfect, there's no such thing as more perfect, but Srimad Bhagavatam is beyond logic. So there's perfect and more perfect. Purna Purnateya Purnatamam. Krishna is perfect in Mathura, more perfect in Dwarka, and most perfect in Vrindavan. This is, you may say, illogical. It's not illogical, but it's beyond logic. And yes, maybe illogical, because illogical is considered a derogatory term. But when it's applied to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, then it becomes another of His glorious attributes. Just like Krishna is a thief, a liar, a coward, it seems like that. But His stealing, lying, cheating, running away from battle, it all adds to His glory. He doesn't become degraded by that, but rather His glories are enhanced. So, as Srimad Bhagavatam is the topmost Vedic literature. And certainly we find in Srimad Bhagavatam the philosophy of Krishna consciousness is described there. Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam Mukta Sangasya Jayanti. In Srimad Bhagavatam is described the science of Bhagavan, who is Bhagavan, what is everything in relationship with Bhagavan, by understanding which one is liberated from material entanglement. So it's certainly, it's not simply a book of sentiment, it's not simply a book of stories, but we'll find in the Srimad Bhagavatam the perfect exposition of Vedanta. Whatever is inherent or implicit in Vedanta, in Vedanta Sutra, is explicitly or clearly stated in Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, Srimad Bhagavatam is considered the natural commentary on Vedanta Sutra. Vedanta Sutra is a philosophical disposition, as is Srimad Bhagavatam. But Srimad Bhagavatam gives us the philosophy of the Vedas together with the ultimate result of understanding and entering into that philosophy, which is Krishna Prem Bhakti Rasa. So the recommendation is, go on drinking that rasa. Go on taking this strong, heady spirit of Krishna Bhakti Rasa. Those who are rasik devotees, those who are qualified to understand this rasa, they should go on drinking that. But does that mean that they become unphilosophical? The expression of rasa we see in Krishna Leela is expressed in various ways. In Chaitanya Leela is expressed by singing and dancing. So this singing and dancing, that means we lost all philosophy? No. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu himself showed that he was singing and dancing and people thought him a sentimentalist. But then when he came to talking philosophy with even great Mayavadis like Sarvabhauma Bhattacharya, Prakashananda Saraswati, he defeated them philosophically. Defeated them and brought them to his understanding of Vedanta, which is expressed in chanting Hare Krishna and dancing. They also joined it, which they would have could not have imagined doing previously. And like this, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, he met in Chaitanya Charitamrita. It's described how he met with Keshav Kashmiri, who was a great scholar, and he defeated him, and he met with various Muslims also at one point. He discussed with them, and on the basis of the Quran, he described how the Supreme Absolute Truth is a person, and he's bluish and he has a flute. So he made them Vaishnavas also. And then while traveling in South India especially, he met so many different philosophers, such as Sri Vaishnavas, Tathavadis or followers of Madhvacharya, and then followers of Samkhya philosophy, and Buddhists, Jains, all kinds of different philosophers. And he defeated all their philosophies, but he wasn't simply defeating, but rather he was bringing them into the Sankirtan movement. That you're on the platform of philosophy? Okay. This is your philosophy? Okay. You defeated it. Now, you come and join our Sankirtan. Now, There are many people who may come to Krishna consciousness even without understanding philosophy, because without understanding so much philosophy. And actually nowadays none of us can understand all these things anyway, all these complex discussions of Vedanta. To even to enter into that, one has to know Sanskrit, because a lot of it is based on the interpretations of Vedanta are based on understanding the complex rules of Sanskrit grammar. So without understanding Sanskrit and very deep and complex philosophy, one cannot even begin to enter these discussions. Now this doesn't mean that all philosophy should be thrown out, but the level of the depth and the complexity of philosophical discussion that was previously the norm in India, we see that Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is discussing with so many different philosophers. That is more or less gone now. Ordinary people, philosophy is practically a dead subject. Even in the universities, we see someone, my son is studying, what's he studying? Engineering, accountancy, medicine. We don't know until he's studying philosophy. We never knew. If he's studying philosophy, if there happens to be, that means he's a useless fellow. He wasn't fit for anything, so went to philosophy. Even the useless fellows, they don't even go to philosophy, because it's considered too useless, even for the useless. Better go to get a job or something. What's the use of studying philosophy? So philosophy is considered not only a dead subject, but that completely irrelevant. It's irrelevant, because what's the need of philosophy? Just work hard and get money, that's all. You know, there is no philosophy in modern life. So it's already worked out. Whatever philosophy you need to know is on, you get it from the TV. What is that philosophy? Work hard and enjoy, that's all. No philosophy, no brain, no thinking. So philosophy is required, and certainly in Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement there is philosophy, but the level that it used to be, that's not there. Although the essence is, we find in Prabhupada's books, it's not that we're missing anything, because we don't go into so much depth, because the essence of all philosophy anyway is to surrender to Krishna, and then beyond surrender, to love Krishna. That is the ultimate goal of all philosophy. But some people can come to Krishna consciousness even without much philosophy. We see that this movement of Krishna consciousness was spread by Chaitanya Mahaprabhu by speaking philosophically to Mayavadis, Buddhists, Jains, Sankhya philosophers, and so many others. But for most people, he didn't speak philosophy. He would go and chant Hare Krishna, and so they went to chant Hare Krishna, and automatically they felt, oh yes, this is very wonderful, very nice. Simple people, you can say. Or people whose brains were not overly complex. And they'd simply join in and chant Hare Krishna with Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. And in this way, take to Krishna consciousness. And this way, Krishna consciousness was spread all over Bengal. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu sent Nityananda Prabhu door to door. And he would simply ask people to chant Hare Krishna, chant the names of Gauranga. But it wasn't that philosophy. So many people, yes, Nityananda Prabhu has come to our door. He's asking us to chant Hare Krishna. Yes, certainly. We'll come and join. But what did Chaitanya Mahaprabhu ask Nityananda Prabhu how to preach? That he told him, Shuna Shuna Nityananda Shuna Haridas Savatra Amar Adya Kara Ha Prakash Prate Ghare Ghare Giya Kara E Bikha Bhaja Krishna Bolo Krishna Kara Krishna Shikha. Nityananda Haridas, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu told Nityananda and Haridas,
listen. I'm giving you an order here. You go everywhere and make my order preaching. Karaha Prakash. Go to every door and beg everyone. Bhaja Krishna, worship Krishna, Bolo Krishna, chant the names of Krishna, and Karo Krishna Shiksha. Learn about Krishna also. So, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement immediately appeals to the feelings that here we are, we're in material life and it's miserable, and here's Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and his followers chanting Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna, so sweet, so nice, so wonderful, so enchanting. Let us join them. And immediately, oh, Jai Sokol Vipod Bhakti Vinod Bolan Joko Nananda. Immediately all our cares, all our worries go away, and we become affected. Our very hearts become affected by feeling, oh Krishna, how wonderful to chant the names of Krishna. So that is the automatic effect of taking to the Sankirtan movement. When we chant Hare Krishna, then feelings for Krishna automatically arise. So those feelings for Krishna, they are the perfection of life, to feel for Krishna, loving feelings for Krishna. So we may say then, well, if we're chanting Hare Krishna, and our feelings for Krishna are arising, then what is the need for philosophy? Because that's the perfection of philosophy. It's simply to chant the names of Krishna and have loving feelings for Krishna. Then why do we need to understand all this Bhagavad Gita, all this philosophy of Srimad Bhagavatam? We'll just chant Hare Krishna. We can hear about Krishna Leela, how Krishna is stealing the butter, how he's dancing with the gopis, and it's very sweet and very nice. And what is all this philosophy? We don't, not required, we may think. We'll just chant Hare Krishna and hear stories about Krishna, and that's the perfection. So why all this? Why have philosophy at all? Well, here Prabhupada is stating, religion without philosophy is sentiment or sometimes fanaticism, while philosophy without religion is mental speculation. So religion without philosophy, we could say for instance that the gopis in Vrindavan, as Prabhupada often pointed out, they were not Vedanta philosophers. They did not come together and discuss what are the different grammatical or the verbal roots of different words and what is the meaning of this in the Upanishads. They would come together and discuss how beautiful is Krishna? Where is Krishna? When will Krishna come? They were simply in love with Krishna. So that sentiment, that is the topmost level. They were beyond philosophy, actually, although they were not without philosophy, because they also understood Krishna as akaladehinam antaratmadrik. They understood that actually Krishna is the Supreme Personality. But it didn't matter very much to them. They were concerned with loving Krishna. So why don't we just chant Hare Krishna and dance and hear Krishna Leela? And that's it, that's the perfection, feelings for Krishna. The problem with this proposition is that in the neophyte stage, our tendency to enjoy or attempt to enjoy material sense gratification remains. And our feelings for Krishna, when we chant Hare Krishna, there are so many nice feelings, that cannot be considered to be properly or fully on the transcendental stage as long as our tendency is to engage in material sense gratification. Just like we may see people chant Hare Krishna, many feelings, but then afterwards, there again the tendency is there for sense gratification, which may be very gross, or it may be subtle also. There may be people who are chanting Hare Krishna with great feeling, but then they're considering that I'm going to merge into Krishna. So, actually, without training in Krishna consciousness and without a proper understanding of Krishna consciousness, even we may have feelings, but those feelings, they cannot be considered to be on the level of the Rajvasis. So Rajvasis here, I'm not talking about the palm chewing and drug selling and land deal brokering kind of persons that we may find in Vrindavan nowadays, who sell the deity's land and all this kind of thing. The real Rajvasis means Nanda Maharaj, Yashoda Rani, and so on. The Nanda, Upananda, Abhinanda, the actual lovers of Krishna. So their feelings are fully and purely on the transcendental platform, because they have no thought but how to satisfy Krishna. But even though when we chant, some feelings for Krishna may arise, but they are not in the neophyte stage, they are not mature. And the tendency is that our feelings for Krishna tend to be mixed with mundane sentiment. That's why we usually find, just like in India, we'll find so many people are bhaktas or Vaishnavas. But we'll always find this kind of understanding that people understand bhakti is enjoyable. It's nice. Bhakti is wonderful. But people tend to think that bhakti is for my own enjoyment. It's like, well, someone may, Vrindavan jaake hain, to kaise hua yatra? We went to Vrindavan. How was it? Very bahudana. We enjoyed it very much. But the going to Vrindavan is not meant for our enjoyment. We are meant to go with the spirit of serving Krishna. Not that I enjoyed. We went to Govardhan. We did Vrindavan Parikrama. We visited so many temples. We saw Radha Kund, and it was, we really enjoyed it. Very, very enjoyable. Bahut anandala. But that means we never went to Vrindavan. Because Vrindavan means Vishai Charya Kavi Shuddha Ave Mantave Yamaharabo Sri Vrindavan. When we give up the spirit of enjoying ourselves, then we can enter Vrindavan. So even if we think that, yes, I went to Govardhan, and certainly going to Govardhan is better than going to a movie. But the attitude that, yes, Krishna is very sweet, and Krishna is very sweet, no doubt. Krishna is very sweet, everything about him is, Vallabhacharya has made this very nice song, that everything about him is very sweet, is, yeah, the word Madhuram we find again here. Everything about him, his flute playing is sweet, his gopis are sweet, his face is sweet, everything about him is sweet. But that can be appreciated by those who are fully surrendered to Krishna. And if we think, I will enjoy, just like I enjoy taking halal, that's also sweet. So I shall, if we think it's something for my enjoyment, this attitude, if at all we have it, then we cannot actually appreciate what is the sweetness of Krishna consciousness, because the attitude of I will enjoy it myself. So actually, Krishna consciousness means our consciousness should be turned around completely from what it is presently. It's a philosophical understanding that he is the enjoyer, I am to be enjoyed by Krishna. This philosophical understanding, he is bhokta, we are bhogya. This understanding, this is the crux or the essence of actual Krishna consciousness by which we can enter into pure devotional service. This is the difference between a materialist and a pure devotee. And those who are attempting to be Krishna conscious, they may be somewhere in between, that we have some tendency towards material sense gratification, even subtly, that I will enjoy hearing about Krishna. As long as we think I will enjoy, then we cannot actually enter into Krishna consciousness. Now, it's a fact that Krishna consciousness is enjoyable. This is the only enjoyment. There is no real enjoyment in material existence or in sense gratification. But So it's not that now that we should stop all enjoyment. No enjoyment in Krishna consciousness. Don't be happy. You do full kirtan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Don't smile. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Don't smile. It's not like that. There are certain religious movements. There was the Puritan movement in Protestantism in England. They were called Puritan because they thought we were very pure and there should be no enjoyment of any kind. No one should ever enjoy anything. Of course, that's true on the material platform. There can be no... as long as we're trying to enjoy this material world, then we cannot have purity. But enjoyment is there in spiritual life, in Krishna consciousness. Ananda chinmaya rasa. What is that? Ananda chinmaya rasa? No. What's the... What's the other verse? No, the other one. Ananda chinmaya rasa. How does that go? Ananda chinmaya rasa? Mataya manasu yah praninam pratipalam smaratam upeti. Lila ayatena bhuvanani jayate jasram govindamava purushanta mahamajami. That Krishna, his lila, is not only enjoyable, that is the topmost enjoyment, but Krishna, he rules over the world, not by force, but rather his lila, his anandamaya lila, conquers the world. His lila surpasses everything. Lilayatena bhuvanani jayatya jasram. By his lila, by his pastimes, he surpasses everything in this world. So Krishna's lila, that is certainly full of enjoyment. We can see it's all enjoyable. This Nokavihar. I can't see what's that. Krishna's with the gopis, Ras Lila. So this is all enjoyable. But if our intention is I will enjoy, then the enjoyment doesn't come. We have to always, the intention is how Krishna will enjoy. And the enjoyment that comes from that may be superficially not enjoyable. Just like the Rajavasis, they're always full of the highest love for Krishna, but they spend so many sleepless days and nights of suffering in separation from Krishna. But that is that apparent unhappiness, that is the highest happiness. Or for Krishna, they're prepared, etc. Mother Yashoda, if there's one drop of perspiration which is annoying Krishna. Of course, there can be no annoyance for Krishna, but she may perceive like that. She's ready to go to hell for millions of lifetimes just to remove that slight disturbance to Krishna. This is the attitude of the pure devotees. Aslishava padaratam pinashtamama darshanandama tankarotu yatatata vavidatatu lampato mat prananandam pushtivanapada. That Krishna, I will certainly be happy if you embrace me, Radharani says. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu and Guru Radharani. And I will but even if you crush me, or even if you destroy me, you can destroy me by not showing yourself to me. If I don't see you, it's worse than death for me. But if you want to do like that, if for your own reason you feel happy to torture me, anyway, I'm ready for that. Because whatever you want, if you get pleasure by making me unhappy, then I'm ready. If it, somehow that gives you pleasure, then I'm ready to accept. Another example, the gopis, so many devotees, Krishna has a headache. What is the cure? I need the dust of my devotees' feet on my hands. No one will give. How can we put the dust of our feet on Krishna's head? Then Narad Muni goes to the gopis. Narad, where are you coming from? I was with Krishna. Oh, how is that, Krishna? Actually, he's got a very bad headache. Oh, really? What can we do? Anything, what can we do? Krishna's got a headache. The gopis feel as if they're ready to die in anxiety. Krishna, Narad said that, well, he needs the dust of his devotees' feet to put on his head. Then it can be cured. So can you give? Yes, yes. You please. You take. But what are you doing? You don't know. You'll go to hell. Yes, yes, we'll go to hell. So generally devotees recite this. Ashishava padaritam pinash. Easy to say. Are we ready for that, actually? Are we ready to accept any difficulty in Krishna's service? When we are, then Bishoy Charya Kavishuta Habimon Tabe Amaharabha Sri Vrindavan. Then we're ready to enter Vrindavan. As long as we're thinking, not this higher surrender means not only giving up gross sense gratification for regulated principles, but it means being prepared for anything in Krishna's service. Here, don't put your hand on your mouth. Wash it. Never put your hand on your mouth unless you're eating or brushing your teeth. Otherwise, it's contaminated. So, because the Vrajvasis have such a mood, therefore they're the Vrajvasis. And because we don't, therefore we are here. Their feelings for Krishna are such that they're prepared to accept any discomfort. And our feelings are such that we don't like any people. So many times devotees are asked me that, well, I find it a little difficult. Is there any easy way? Someone today asked me that what's the easy way? Why are you asking? Ask for the best way. The best way will not be easy. You want something good, you won't get it cheap. You get what you pay for. So we have to pay to become Krishna conscious by our full surrender. And that means giving up our material attachments and being ready to do anything and everything for Krishna. Then one can appreciate, or then one can experience the bliss of Krishna consciousness. But if we think that without the surrender, I will simply enjoy Krishna consciousness, then it's almost a material proposition. Therefore, such devotees are called prakriti bhaktas, materialistic devotees, or neophyte devotees. who like to hear the very intimate pastimes of the Lord, and bahut anand milte hain. They're feeling very nice, but then they have no serious endeavor to surrender to Krishna. So we see that the popular speakers on Bhagavatam or Ramayana, lakhs and lakhs of people will go to their katas, and they'll speak very sweetly, and everyone will feel in their heart, oh, very nice, we're hearing about Krishna's leela. And then they'll come over. Not only will they go on with their normal life, but even at such katas, the big businessmen arrange free chai seva for everyone. As all the people are going to hear the katha, and then every 2 hours there's a break, and they come out and there's pura bandabasti, tin lak lomang ke liye, chai ka bandabas, in the middle. So, bhakta seva. So there's no intention or understanding of becoming free from sense gratification. People simply, they're pious, you can say. People hear and they feel, oh, very nice. And then they go home with their ordinary life. Well, it's a very common thing, we'll see. In India, people will go to Tirupati or some holy place. They'll go for darshan. And the darshan, you know, you wait 2 hours or whatever. You take two darshan in about, you know, 10 seconds or whatever. And then, you know, you have your bus or train booking. There's another 5 hours. So they go and see a movie. What are you going to do? Time pass, you know, whatever. They go and see a movie in Tirupati town. So people, they don't feel that, you know, it's... We went, we had darshan. We did a good thing. We asked the Lord to help us in our material life. And then, well, 5 hours for the bus, and we already went to the Govindaraj temple and this and that. And so, well, there's a movie, let's go see a movie. So it's like that. People don't, they'll take their family to the temple one day, and Kirtan, we have our ISKCON temple so nicely. The people come and nice Kirtans, people love it, and they're clapping. Jai Radhe Shyam, really enjoying it, really getting into it with their whole family. And the next day, next evening, they'll take their family to the movie. And they don't see any dichotomy in that. Because it's all enjoyment. It's all in, you see. We're very pious, and we go and we hear about Krishna, and we enjoy the kirtan, and then we enjoy the movie. So they don't, there's no real understanding of what is Krishna consciousness. It's not actually Krishna consciousness. Therefore, one has to hear from real devotees, not simply entertainment. This kataka, manaranjan vali, not simply entertainment. One has to hear from a genuine devotee, sadhu. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur explained that a genuine sadhu is one who stands just like the sacrificial animal is sacrificed by cutting. So the sadhu stands with the knife of transcendental knowledge to break the material attachments. So if we're not prepared to have our material attachments broken, then we cannot enter into Krishna consciousness. And material attachments, they can go not simply by saying, you give up this, you give up that, but we have to understand why we are practicing Krishna consciousness and why we should not be attached to material life. And as long as we're attached to sense gratification in any form, subtle or gross, in the beginning it's, you know, we come to Krishna conscious and we start chanting them, and okay, I've got to give up. Maybe eating meat, okay, give that up. And then onions and garlic, and then tea and coffee, and well, now I get initiated. I gave up everything. Then the work begins. That's giving up the gross attachments. There's so many subtle attachments which we may not even be aware of. We have so many attachments. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is warned that one may take to Krishna consciousness, but then again come back to material consciousness even while superficially practicing Krishna consciousness. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu gives the example that Nishidacha Kutinati Jibeya Hingshan Lab Puja Pratishta Jata Upashakagan. The obstacles on the path of developing our love for Krishna, they may be very gross, such as not following the regulated principles, being of exploitative mentality, kutinati. Kutniti, I think it is in Hindi. Kutinati. And then Brahma, then kutinati. Jibe hingshan, violence to other living beings. So these are very gross forms of sense gratification. But then, even if one is free from these gross forms of sense gratification, then one may desire love in the name of Krishna consciousness. One may become, he may be doing it for some material gain, just like one may become a pujari in a temple because it's one way of maintaining. Then the people give money. We'll find generally whenever there's some successful temple, lots of small temples come up around because people have the idea that so many people are coming to this temple. If we make a small temple, they're going to go here also. And then we'll get income. There are so many, you'll find. You go to Vrindavan or so many places, Chitrakoot, any place, people come take darshan. Why do they want to take darshan? Because if you take darshan, at least you'll put 50 paisa in. And then if you work hard all day, then you know, you'll get some money. And you, so it's not, no spiritual motive, absolutely material. And then even more subtle is that people will worship me, they'll consider me a great devotee. And therefore we may perform our devotional service apparently as if we're very advanced. But it's all, we may not even be aware that we're doing it, but actually we're performing an act so that people will praise us. So it may be so subtle, we don't even recognize it. We may be so humble, but it's just we think, well, I'm very humble, and everyone else thinks I'm very humble. He's very humble devotee. But it may be that we're doing just to enjoy being praised as humble. Maybe. So there's so many subtle forms of sense gratification. So unless we diligently hear what is the position of Krishna, what is our position? We hear this philosophy over and over again, all the details. No demigod worship, no bogus, all these different points. All this philosophy is to understand this point, that Krishna is the enjoyer and we are the enjoyed. If this is understood, not only theoretically, we should understand it with our intelligence, but actually apply that in our lives, that is perfection. All perfection comes from that. And as long as we don't understand, or we haven't accepted this, then we may be chanting with feelings are there, feelings for Krishna, we can say, but it will be mixed up with our own desire to enjoy kirtan, or enjoy Krishna consciousness. And we are thinking, this is pretty, you know, I'm just like Lord Chaitanya. Or I'm just like the Vrajvasis. I have such feelings. But it's without our knowing, it's mixed up with mundane sentiment. Therefore, we have to hear from bona fide sadhus, bona fide devotees, who distinguish between reality and illusion and cut away all our attachments, so that we can actually enter into Krishna consciousness. So philosophy is required. Feelings are also required. Krishna consciousness is not just some academic philosophical course. But it's also not simply feelings without any background. Even you'll see the great acharyas, they're writing, especially Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur is, is well known for his beautiful expositions on Krishna Lila. Many times he explains in the Bhagavatam there's some verse, and he gives a big commentary how there's more discussion. What are the beautiful exchanges between Krishna and his devotees? So he's known as a Rasika Acharya. He's given writings which highly elevated devotees can appreciate about the pastimes of Krishna. But it's not that he is without philosophy. When he comes to comment on the, also in the 10th canto, the prayers of the personified Vedas, we'll find, he gives such comments on this highly philosophical section that we can understand that he's fully conversant with Siddhanta and all the intricacies of philosophy. So it's not that, well, we'll just enjoy all this rasic katha and philosophy that's, you know, that sometimes they accuse like that. This discussion of Bhagavad Gita, that's just for jnanis. No. It's for devotees. Bhagavad Gita is only meant for devotees. Sometimes they used to accuse Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. He's a jnani because he's discussing so much philosophy. And we're discussing Krishna Leela. We're on a higher platform. But no. Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, they're not on a higher platform. They're actually neophyte devotees. Because even though such persons, they may be living in Vrindavan, discussing Krishna Leela, and maybe following some tapasya very rigidly, but Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur identified such persons as neophyte devotees because they hadn't grasped this point. He ascertained that they had not grasped, they had not come to the platform of fully understanding that Krishna and Krishna consciousness is not meant for our enjoyment. We are meant for the enjoyment of Krishna. So this Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, he explained that this is my whole message. This is the essence, to understand this point. Who is the drashta and who is the drishya? Who is the bhokta? Who is the bhogya? Who is to be? We go for darshan. What does that mean? We present ourselves to Krishna. I'm here to serve you. Not that I go to see Krishna. I am seeing Krishna. But rather we present ourselves to be seen by him. We are the object to be seen by him. He is not the object to be seen by us. He is the enjoyer. We are to be enjoyed by him. This essential point. All the philosophy is meant for understanding this. And we shouldn't take it so cheaply that, oh, okay, right, oh, okay, now I understood. And then no more philosophy. No, we have to discuss in detail again and again, understand this point. Then, Vishoyacharya Shira Shemurjiya Mukhe Bolo Harihara. Then, we can actually give up all traces of sense gratification. Then, we can enter into the Krishna Prema Ras. Then, we can actually chant Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Is there any question about this? This is a very important point. This is the essential point. Please try to understand this. You should distribute this lecture, actually. How to cultivate? We cultivate this understanding by the process of sadhana bhakti. It's meant for them. Sometimes we're pushing. You chant more, chant more, chant more. And then you chant 60 rounds, get initiated. But chanting, don't only push chanting. You have to hear and understand. You have to study the books and understand. Otherwise, you see, sometimes you're pushing, chanting 16 rounds. What is the quality of the chanting? We don't know. And people are getting initiated, but really, what is Krishna consciousness? They don't understand. And therefore, they'll make comments such as, well, you know, why these some gurus are so strict, they don't allow their disciples to watch TV or any such thing. And others are more liberal, So maybe I'll go for a more liberal group.
Yeah.
It means they don't understand, they're not hearing, they haven't accepted what is Krishna conscious. So you may chant 16 rounds, but not much value in that. And even in initiation, not much value in that. If we're thinking how I can cultivate sense gratification, then what is the meaning of taking initiation? Dikka kale bhakta kare atta shamapa. The time of initiation means to surrender one's life to Krishna. So that may not happen fully immediately, but the commitment has to be there. Without that, then what's the meaning in chanting 16 rounds and watching the cricket match simultaneously? I've seen, sometimes I've walked into someone's house, initiated devotee, and they were there chanting their rounds in front of the TV. Because I promised to chant my rounds. But, you know, there's a good program. So, you know, we do both at once. So what is the use of such rounds? Please engage me in your service. This Hare Krishna chanting means please engage me in your service. And engaging in Maya service. So Krishna is not such a fool that he can be cheated. Just like, you know, a man may say to his wife, I love you, I love you, I love you. But on the side, he's got, you know, three or four girlfriends. So, you may cheat your wife, but Krishna is not such a fool. He's not going to be cheated. Krishna, if we're going to serve Krishna, that means ekanta says, only Krishna. Vyavasaya atmika buddhi ekaha karananda bahu shakyananda buddhi o vyavasaya nam. Not, I will serve Krishna and this and that and so many other things also. No, only Krishna. Of course, most of you are in the grihastha ashram or expected grihastha hone wale. But the same mood has to be cultivated. It's not that a sannyasi cultivates one mood and a grihastha in Krishna consciousness cultivates a mood, an enjoying mood. Let it, we'll enjoy and also be Krishna conscious. Of course, something may be there. Some grihastha has various social responsibilities, this, that, and so something is there, but it's, the general mood is that our life is meant for Krishna, that's all. Not that a grihastha Vaishnava is a bhog vilas. Vaishnava can never be bhog vilas. Want to put this on? Okay, better late than never. Thank you so much for offering the prasad of the Lord to this fallen soul who needs it very much. You're putting this on me. There are so many others in the room. Why are you giving to me? Then you have understood that I need the mercy of Krishna more than I'm more fallen. So I need, this is offered to Krishna. I need to get this mercy more than others. So thank you very much. Thank you. Hare Krishna. There's no question.